Tonight, I want to focus on pride. What is the Lord's response to our pride? And what should we be seeking to prevent a haughty and prideful spirit? If you can turn your Bibles with me to Proverbs 16, we're going to read verses 18 and 19, be our main text. Obviously, a very familiar passage to everybody. Verses 18 and 19, Bible says, "Pride goeth before destruction, and a haughty spirit before a fall. Better it is to be of a humble spirit with the lowly than to divide the spoil with the proud." Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we're thankful for this night you've given us, Lord. We're thankful for this church where we can come and worship you in spirit and truth, Lord. Give me strength and power as I handle your word of God, Lord. I pray that it's a blessing to everyone here. In your son's name, Lord Jesus Christ, amen. As we can see, according to the Bible, pride only leads towards our fall and destruction. Having a lowly and humble spirit is what the Lord wants to see from us. Pride, at its core, is just a man thinking they are something when in fact they are nothing. Realizing we are nothing without the Lord is the pivotal first step in every Christian's life. The Lord demands submission, and the prerequisite to submission is humility. Verse 18, I'll read it one more time. Pride goeth before destruction, and a haughty spirit before a fall. We can even look earlier at verse 5, where it says, "Everyone that is proud in heart is an abomination to the Lord. Though hand joined in hand, he shall not be unpunished." Pride is not just an emotion to gloss over, but rather an abomination unto the Lord. And this abomination comes with consequences. I think there is no better context when talking about pride than to observe Satan's fall from grace. Let's turn to Isaiah 14. Read verses 12 through 19. Bible says, How art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? How art thou cut down from the ground, which didst weaken the nations? For thou hast said in thine heart, I will ascend into heaven, I will exalt my throne above the stars of God, I will sit also upon the mount of the congregation in the sides of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds, I will be like the Most High. Yet thou shalt be brought down to hell, to the sides of the pit. They that see thee shall narrowly look upon thee and consider thee, saying, Is this the man that made the earth to tremble, that did shake kingdoms? That made the world as a wilderness and destroyed the cities thereof, that opened not the house of prisoners? All the kings of the nations, even all of them, lie in glory, even one in his own house. But thou art cast out of thy grave like an abominable branch, and as the raiment of those that were slain, thrust through with a sword that go down to the stones of the pit, as a carcass trodden under feet. Here we see Lucifer's fall because of his pride, thinking he could ascend to God's height and be like the Most High, similar to the Tower of Babel, which we will see later. Satan had to deal with the consequences for his sin of pride, and so shall we if we let it go unchecked. As the father of pride, he was directly responsible for the lies of the garden that stoked Adam and Eve's pride, saying, "You will not die, and you will be as gods." We read that in Genesis 3, 4 through 5, where it says, "And the serpent said unto the woman, Ye shall not surely die, for God doth know that in the day ye eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened, and ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil." Obviously, we know that this is the core of Gnosticism. Humans working their way up the Pleroma in an effort to one day return to being gods. This entire system is nothing but pure, unadulterated pride. It was because of pride that sin began, and why pride is still an abomination unto the Lord this day. As in verses previously looked at, and in this passage, there are consequences to pride, and left unrepented, the Lord will cut you down. We can look at another record in the Bible which perfectly illustrates another individual's fall because of pride, and how he was forced to give all the glory to the Lord in the end. Let's go to Daniel chapter 4. In In Daniel, we have the account of Nebuchadnezzar and the dream that Daniel interpreted. The Lord struck down the prideful Nebuchadnezzar until he gave the Lord the glory he desired. Let's read verses 30 through 37 in Daniel chapter 4. The king spake and said, Is not this great Babylon that I have built for the house of the kingdom, for the house of the kingdom by the might of my power and for the honor of my majesty? While the word was in the king's mouth, there fell a voice from heaven saying, O King Nebuchadnezzar, to thee it is spoken, the kingdom is departed from thee, and they shall drive thee from men, and thy dwelling shall be with the beasts of the field, and they shall make thee to eat grass as oxen, and 7 times shall pass over thee, until thou know that the Most High ruleth in the kingdom of heaven, and giveth it to whomsoever he will. The same hour was the thing fulfilled upon Nebuchadnezzar, and he was driven from men, and did eat grass as oxen, and his body was wet with the dew of heaven, till his hairs were grown like eagle's feathers, and his nails like birds' claws. And at the end of the days, I, Nebuchadnezzar, lifted up mine eyes unto heaven, and mine understanding returned to me, and I blessed the Most High, and I praised and honored him that liveth forever, whose dominion is an everlasting dominion, and his kingdom is from generation to generation. And all the inhabitants of the earth are reputed as nothing, and he doeth according to his will in the army of heaven and among the inhabitants of the earth, and none can stay his hand or say unto him, What doest thou? At the same time my reason returned unto me, and for the glory of my kingdom, mine honor and brightness returned unto me, and my counselors and my lords saw unto me, and I was established in my kingdom, and excellent majesty was added unto me. Now I, Nebuchadnezzar, praise and extol and honor the King of heaven, all whose works are truth, and his ways judgment, and those that walk in pride he is able to abase. The Lord had allowed the king to have a great, powerful, and prosperous kingdom. Daniel's interpretation of the dream would bring all that to a halt and force Nebuchadnezzar to acknowledge that the Lord's hand was in all things, including his prosperity. Forcing Nebuchadnezzar to live as an animal for 7 years until he was forced to acknowledge the greatness of the Lord and know that there was no room in his heart for pride before the Lord. Just as Satan was and will be punished for his sin of pride, so was King Nebuchadnezzar. We can also look at Genesis 11 and look at the downfall of another group of people. Let's read verses 1 through 9. And the whole earth was of one language and of one speech. And it came to pass, as they journeyed from the east, that they found a plain in the land of Shinar, and they dwelt there. And they said one unto another, Go to, let us make brick, and burn them thoroughly. And they had brick for stone, and slime had they for mortar. And they said, Go to, let us build a city and a tower, whose top may reach unto heaven, and let us make us a name, lest we be scattered abroad upon the face of the whole earth. And the Lord came down to see the city and the tower which the children of men builded. And the Lord said, Behold, the people is one, and they have all one language. This they begin to do, and now nothing will be restrained from them, which they have imagined to do. Go to, let us go down, and there confound their language, that they may not understand one another's speech. So the Lord scattered them abroad from thence upon the face of all the earth, and they left off to build the city. Therefore is the name of it called Babel, because the Lord did there confound the language of all the earth, and from thence did the Lord scatter them abroad upon the face of the earth. Here we have the account of the Tower of Babel, and a very common account that most of us already know about. This is an example of the Lord completely establishing his dominion and sovereignty over the men of earth by confounding the language. Men in their pride enabled them to think they could build all the way to the heavens and assume the role of God themselves. However, just as the scriptures promise, the Lord does not allow their pride to go unchecked and nips the tower they were creating in the bud. After confounding the language, the people were scattered and the tower to heaven was forgotten. As we see from the example of Satan, Nebuchadnezzar, and Babel, in all cases, they puffed up their chest, proclaiming glory to themselves before the Lord. Pride is nothing but an act of defiance before the Lord and his sovereignty. Back in Proverbs 16, verse 19 says again, better it is to be of a humble spirit with the lowly than to divide the spoil with the proud. What is the answer to this pride? What is the answer to this pride? We should be meek and humble servants of the Lord, seeking only to bring glory to him instead of ourselves. Humility is honored by the Lord and the only emotion we should be embracing in our walk with him. Amen. Let's look at a couple of verses supporting this. We can look at Proverbs 18:12. Couple pages. Bible says, before destruction, the heart of man is haughty, and before honor is humility. The Lord honors humility and despises a haughty spirit. We should despise and resist pride just as much as the Lord and seek his help daily to give us a humble spirit as Christians should have. Proverbs 8:13. Let's turn there. It says, the fear of the Lord is to hate evil, pride and arrogance in the evil way, and the froward mouth do I hate. Since we know the Lord has consequences for those with pride problems, we should have a good, healthy fear of the Lord when we start thinking we have the right to be proud. If we look at James 4 and verse 6, the Bible says, but he giveth more grace. Wherefore he saith, God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace unto the humble. We should be seeking God's grace in our lives. We would not survive in this world without God's grace. Being prideful in the presence of the Lord only hinders the grace he promises to give you. Fear the Lord, submit to the Lord, and give him all the glory and honor for every aspect of your life, and you're on the right track. We can look at Mark chapter 7. For from within, out of the heart of men proceed evil thoughts, adulteries, fornications, murders, thefts, covetousness, wickedness, deceit, lasciviousness, an evil eye, blasphemy, pride, foolishness. All these evil things come from within and defile the man. We can see the caliber of sins that pride is rolled into here. The Lord is not messing around. We can say, oh yeah, fornication, murder, and adultery is obviously all bad. What about pride? Let's not forget that it's on this list of abominations to the Lord. How can we debate the merits of pride when it is such an evil thing that defiles a man, as the Lord here says? But how do we achieve such humility in our lives that gives us the strength to fight our sin of pride every day? The answer to that is repentance. Repentance is the ultimate act of humility. It is impossible for a prideful person to accept Jesus into their heart. For how can you need Jesus if your pride tells you that you are something when you are nothing? This is why repentance is such a pivotal part of salvation. The lack of repentance being taught in modern churches nowadays goes to show you the levels of pride that exist amongst these churches. Don't worry about repentance and just believe in God. This easy believism doctrine does nothing but bolster the pride in people's hearts and ignores people's need to fully submit and be completely humble before the Lord. As the Bible says in Ecclesiastes 1, Ecclesiastes 1, verses 1 through 2. The words of the preacher, the son of David, king in Jerusalem, vanity of vanities, saith the preacher, vanity of vanities, all is vanity. I wish I had one more page. Everything we accomplish in this world, everything we have, will not come with us to heaven. It's all vanity. Let's not be prideful about our earthly accomplishments, or prideful of our spiritual accomplishments, for that matter, as those should bring nothing but glory to God rather than to ourselves. The pendulum can swing too far both ways, whether it be taking pride in our earthly possessions or earthly renown, or whether it be pride in our righteousness, just as Job had. But just like we saw in previous passages, the Lord took care of Job's pride problem with trials and tribulations. Let's guard our hearts from pride and walk our Christian walk with a humble spirit rather than a haughty one. Because if we don't, the Lord will step in and remove it from our lives for us. And trust me, as the scriptures promise, there's always consequences for sin. And he will take our pride away one way or another. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for the opportunity to come up here and preach your word and give truth. I pray that the word of God is received into our hearts, Lord, and that we hide it in it. Heavenly Father, we pray for safety as we travel home later today. In your son's name, Lord Jesus Christ, amen.